grab him by the hair. Conservative estimates have estimated that the death toll will be over 10,000. So please keep our burden to the care. But after you take your Bibles on and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we are looking at questions that concern marriage. We talked about part 1 of this lesson this morning, and we're talking about part 2 tonight. This morning we talked about marriage was not advisable due to the current distress, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight because it's mentioned in verse 26. But marriage is preferred over the sin of fornication. That's one of the reasons that God instituted the marriage relationship in order that we might not commit sin with the desire that He instilled in all of us as men and women. We also understood this morning that both husband and wife are to fulfill their marital responsibilities one to another. If there is a need for fasting and prayer, it must be a temporary separation in order that both parties are consenting to that and that there might not be any temptation to sin. We also noted that marriage is a liberty. It's not a requirement. It's not something you have to do. It's something that you can choose to do. And then we discussed in the middle of the text, beginning in verse 10, that God very clearly says in verse 10 that they are not to divorce. But if one rejects God's advice and goes ahead and divorce before they consider what God has said on that subject, and many people do this, it has been my experience in the Lord's church that many people come to me or come to the elders after they've already chosen the path that they think is right, and then they want us to conform the Bible to what they've chosen to do. That's backwards. You need to first consider what God would have you to do, and then to follow that course. And so, but maybe there are those who don't do that. They don't follow God's course. They do things in the spur of the moment, in the moment of emotional trauma, and they disregard God's counsel, and they go ahead and seek a divorce in a case where they did not have the scriptural right to give one. What do you do at that point? Well, verse 11 says you only have two options. You have to seek reconciliation with your mate to keep the covenant from being broken, or you have to remain unmarried. Because if you enter another relationship, you will be in adultery, and anyone that you enter that relationship will also be in the state of adultery. And so it's a very serious thing, but that's God's law on it in 1 Corinthians 7, 10, 11. And then beginning in verse 12 through 16, Christians married to unbelievers must not divorce. They're unbelieving spouses, but if the unbeliever leaves, the Christian must hold fast to the Lord. You can't give up the Lord for any reason. If your unbelieving mate gives you a choice of either him or her or the Lord, if you're going to be faithful to God, you're going to have to choose the Lord. And so you really, if you're going to be faithful to God, you're going to have to choose the Lord, and that will release you from the responsibilities that are contained in the marriage relationship, but that does not release you from the covenant that you entered when you married. You're still under the law of God. Now, I know that that is not a popular doctrine, and I know that's a very hard road and position to take, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That's how serious the marriage relationship is to God. It is a very permanent binding, lifetime binding of two lives together. And as I said this morning at the close of my lesson, that's why we need to be very careful before we enter this relationship to be sure that we want to spend the rest of our life with the person that we're going to marry. It's a very important commitment. It's the second most important decision you make in your life. The only one that trumps it is the decision to become a member of the body of Christ. The second one is who you choose to marry. I can tell you from personal experience that I've seen a lot of people who did not choose wisely, and a lot of good things that were done by their parents and teaching them, training them, guiding them in the ways of the Lord were undone by an unbelieving mate. So that's something you have to give consideration. Now, somebody asked me this morning, and I didn't try to dodge it, it's just not missing in our text. One of the questions I was asked is, was it sinful to marry an unbeliever? And the answer to that is no. It is not sinful to marry an unbeliever. That is not a sin. But again, it does present certain difficult situations that you may have to encounter. And so we must be careful in making those types of decisions. Now, the rest of the text is really directed, beginning in verse 17, about the present distress and about what they should do in the state that they were called in. This is another part of the text that brethren and men in religion have perverted the meaning of. And you'll see that as we go through it. We'll begin by looking at verse 17. It says, only let one lead the life which the Lord has assigned to him, and in which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his calling already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was any at the time of his calling uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Everyone should remain in the state in which he was called. Were you a slave when you were called? Never mind. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord as a slave is a free man in the Lord. Likewise, he was free when he is called as a slave to Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become the slaves of men. So, brethren, in whatever state each was called, let him remain with God. Now, concerning the unmarried, I have no command of the Lord, but I give my opinion, as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is well for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek a wife. Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek marriage. But if you marry, you do not sin. And if a girl marries, she does not sin. Yet those who marry will have worldly trouble, and I will spare you of that. I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as those who were not rejoicing, and those who buy as those who had no good. Those who deal with the world as though they have no dealings with it. For the form of this world is passing away, and what should be free from anxiety? The unmarried man is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly affairs, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried woman or girl is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how they'll be holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly affairs, how to please your husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he's behaving properly towards his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, doing what is no necessity, but having his desire under control, and is determined in his heart to keep her after control, he will do well. So that he who marries his betrothed does well, but he who refrains from marriage will be better. God can count her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, he is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But it is my judgment that she's happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I have the Spirit of God. Now, in these passages, he's talking about two things. He's talking about what position they were in when they came to the cross, and then what to do if they're not in a relationship at this present time. Now, in these passages, social status does not make one more spiritual. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. There was a time when men needed to be circumcised according to the commandment of God. That was under the law of Moses. We no longer live under the law of Moses, and this letter was written to Christians who no longer live under the law of Moses. So if you were circumcised, or if you weren't circumcised, it didn't matter. He said if you were circumcised, that's good. He said, but if you are,